Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Hello, everybody. We're Kenneth and Gloria Copeland. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for this broadcast, and we worship you.
Yes.
We praise you, and we exercise our faith, and we receive. We receive words from heaven. We receive revelation from heaven. Revelation,
yes,
of the life of a believer, a revelation of Jesus. Oh, glory,
hallelujah,
to God. We want to know more, see more, hear more about Jesus. And we thank you for it today, and we give you all the praise and the honor for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. Yeah, thank you, Lord. The word of the Lord just came to me. The message about your son, stop worrying right now. It was a mistake. It's a case of mistaken identity. And you stand on your faith and you start praising God. You start,
yes,
shouting and running around the room right now in the name of Jesus.
And we
glory
agree
to
with
God.
Them. For in victory. The,
yeah, thank
that
you, Lord.
Family.
We praise you
praise
for it. Thank you, Lord.
Thank
glory
you,
to God. Glory to God.
It'll be
amen.
Right in Jesus'
let
name.
Let us know. Give us your testimony.
Yeah,
praise
yeah.
the Lord. Now, let's go back to our scripture. You know, before we do that, there's something I want to talk about. Last April, now you're seeing this in the second week of July, but this is actually the 20th day of May that we're making these broadcasts. And last April, where we usually do our broadcast over at our place in Arkansas, we got rained out. And so we decided we're going to come and do it here on our ministry property and here right back of the house down at the lake in May. Well, it got rained out yesterday, and if we hadn't believed God, we would have, because it was supposed to rain all day yesterday, but the Lord helped us. And we,
thank you, Jesus.
And so it's a whole lot prettier day today. But the birds are back out, glory to God, and so are the helicopters and the airplanes and all of that. So you just rejoice with us. Anything that flies is good. You understand? Whether it's a bird, a helicopter, or an airplane, whatever it is.
A few boats, probably.
Uh-huh. Flying things are good. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want you to know where we are and why we're here and what all the ruckus is going on above us. Praise God. Amen. Now then, let's read our foundation scripture here once again from Romans the 14th chapter and the 23rd verse. He that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now we talked about this. What makes it sin? Think about this. Well, any sin that you readily call sin, I mean, theft, stealing, of course, that's sin. Well, you have to be connected to the devil to do it. And that's what makes it sin, because he's the thief. You're over in the realm of the curse, and you made a decision to do that. Now then, the same thing is true where fear is concerned.
Mm.
Because fear connects you to the devil, to the kingdom of darkness, the way faith connects you to God and the kingdom of God. The devil can't do anything to you apart from fear any more than God will do something for you apart from faith. Because if you're not operating in faith, you're not connected to it. Even
That's
though you're born
point.
Again,
yeah.
even though you're a child of God, if you died today, you'd go to heaven. But when you're functioning in worry, worry is a deadly sin habit. It is a habit, and it has to be dealt with as a habit. A lot of people are taught to worry as children because their parents worried all their life. And you talk worry all the time. And you think, I don't know how you'd get by without good old worry. You know, I mean, it just, and people really don't understand the basics and the roots of it, and that's where we're going to. That's what we're dealing with on his broadcast.
Think about this. He's called the adversary.
Yeah.
Now, what does an adversary do? He fights you. He tries to undo you.
Steal.
Kill. Destroy. Yeah. So we don't want to be connected to him.
Now, Jesus said, in fact, let's go over there. I'm glad you said that, because that reminded me of something the Lord brought up last week. Let's go over to Mark chapter 4, where Jesus is teaching on the sower sows the word. And there's something very important to know here before we go any further. In the fourth chapter of the book of Mark. Now, I want to begin here with the 20th verse. These are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Excuse me. Some 30-fold, some 60, some 100. Now, all of these people, every one of them heard the word. Every one of them had the same opportunity, went through the same situations. The devil said the same thing to all of them, but they made a stand for it, and the word produced 100-fold in their life. Now, notice, let me read it to you again. These are they on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. What are you talking about? What do you always think about, Gloria, when you hear, see the word, bring forth fruit, the blessing of the Lord.
Yeah.
The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing, be fruitful, multiply, and so forth. But the first thing he said to Adam, prosper. Be fruitful. All right, now let's back up here into the 19th verse. Or 18th verse. These are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts or pressures of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Mm. All right? That word care is also translated anxiety, worry, concern. It literally means an over-engrossing mental affair.
The opposite.
In other words, it has completely taken over your thinking.
The opposite of faith.
Yeah, and it's worry. That's what worry does. And the habit of worry is you worry all day long, all the time. Okay, now then, you notice it chokes the word, and the word becomes unfruitful. Now, if you're sowing seed and you're believing God and you're believing for this hundredfold return and all that, and you say, Brother Copeland, I just don't understand. I don't know why this is not working for me. I'd look right here first. Yeah. If you're worried about it all, I just don't understand why it isn't working. I don't understand why it didn't work. It seems like it don't ever work for me.
You might check your mouth.
Yeah, you go around saying it isn't working. Why are you saying that? That's part of worry. That's
right.
What fear-based thoughts do. All right, now let's go to the book of Luke in the 8th chapter. And look here what Jesus said to Jairus. Now, Jairus fell at Jesus' feet and made his faith statement. My little girl lies at home, and she's at the point of death. You come lay your hands on her and she'll live. Jesus started home with him. The woman with the issue of blood stopped him, and they spent some time there. Jesus did ministering to her and so forth. And while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. When Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she will be made whole. Well, now, obviously, Jairus did that because the daughter was made whole.
Yeah.
So obviously he did what Jesus said. Now, I really can't think of any situation that would be any worse than this or harder situation to control your thinking when somebody just told you your daughter's dead and Jesus is standing right there and the first thought shoots across your mind, dear God, if he hadn't spent so much time with this long talking woman, we'd have been there, so he could have stopped her from dying. But all of these kind of thoughts, but Jairus didn't touch that. He obeyed what Jesus said. All he had to do, please get this, all he had to do was agree with what Jesus said and say, yes, sir. That's all he had to do. Because the moment he agreed, the power in those words of Jesus, now get this, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. When he heard the words of Jesus, faith came. He just got through hearing Jesus say, daughter, your faith has made you whole. That helped his faith. But here's the important thing. The power's in the word. You don't have to come up with the power to do it. The power is in the word to break the worry habit, to break the dope habit, to break any kind of, any ungodly thing in your life. The power is in the word to break it. Amen.
That's right.
This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
That's right. Oh,
I'll tell you, I done preached me shouting happy. Hallelujah. Glory. Now, yesterday we talked about God saying to Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Joshua had to say, yes, Lord, okay. You shall meditate therein day and night. Yes, Lord, I'll do that. That you may observe to do according to all that's written therein. Yes, sir. And then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success.
Yep. It works exactly the same way today.
Is it? Yeah. The command. The command. The power was in those words, and he meditated those words. Faith came to carry out. Now, not only to carry out what God had told him to do. Oh, glory, this is just huge. You go to the second chapter, and he sent out two spies. He didn't send out 12. He sent out two and made sure that they were men of faith instead of getting into that same mess they got into back there 40 years ago. He sent out two. Now, they went to Rahab's house, and she hid him out, and then... Listen to this. Verse 9. She said unto the men, to the two men now, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror is fallen upon us, that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. We've heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the kings of the Amorites and the Jordan Sihon and Og, and utterly destroyed them. As soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord your God is God in heaven above and earth beneath.
Praise God.
Gloria, the thing to remember is once God has given the command, he's not just working on you. If he commands you to go over yonder, he's already over yonder, preparing over yonder for you when you get there. That's what most worry people never think of that. Fear-ridden minds never think of that. All they see is the giants. All they see is we're like grasshoppers. They had grasshoppers on their mind.
Yep.
And it defeated them when all the time they could have walked in there without firing a shot, they would have surrendered to them. They gave them 40 years to get stronger. Hmm. Had they gone right then, they'd have bowed down before them and said, whatever we have is yours. But they didn't consider that. They considered what they saw and felt.
What do you think would have happened to us in 1967, when the Lord told us to go do something, move out, go do it, answer the call of ministry? If we'd have not moved on it, where would I be today? Where
I don't
would
even
you
want
be
to think
today?
About it.
I mean, it
I
looked impossible.
It. Because, Gloria, preachers especially die young because of
that's
that.
That's right. That's right.
Had we said, well, you know, yeah, I understand
we'd
that.
We'd be glad to, but we don't have any money.
We don't have any money, but, and you know, oh, yeah, I know the Bible says, oh, no man anything but to love him, and that debt is under the curse and all of that. But, you can't do any kind of ministry of any size without being in debt. Well, that would have begun to erode
that's
what we
right.
were doing. It never would have amounted to anything. And if I had persisted in that, I'd have died back there probably in my late 60s, early 70s, because that's when all my kinfolks died. Well, not all of them, but a number of them did in their...
Your heritage.
Yeah, early to mid 70s. And that's what I'd have done, because I'd have been disobedient unto God. And I'd have stood up and confessed and shouted and all of that. Wouldn't have done a bit of good because being in disobedience.
That's right. That's exactly
amen.
Right.
Amen. And why would I have not done that?
Fear.
Fear. Fear.
And what had you to lose by doing it? You didn't have anything.
Well, I will tell you, though, Gloria, I like to mess up in this area because, well, you're right, but a broke man don't think that way.
Oh, okay.
Okay. In later years, when the Lord started talking to me about doing daily television, I remember when He first started, that this started coming up before me, that to do daily television. You remember we went in Australia, and man, you remember all of the TV scandals that went on in the 80s, and there we were in Australia, and it was all over the news over there and all this mess. And TV preacher stock just went to nothing,
that's
you
right.
know. And the whole, we were the joke of the natural world. And because they've been looking for this kind of stuff anyway. And I remember...
It gives them a reason not to obey God.
Sometimes. Well, it gives them a reason to do what they do
right.
best, which is
right.
curse God and die. Mm-hmm. But when you... We were in that hotel room that night, and the Word of the Lord came to us and said, I need you on daily television. The body of Christ needs you, and your nation needs you. Okay. Well, I was so tired. I was so physically tired. And... all the way home, that long, long airline ride across there, 15-hour run across, 13 and a half hour. And I'm thinking this whole trip, well, I have to do this. And I don't think I can physically take it. I think it'll... somewhere down the line. And what am I doing? I'm sitting there worried about it. I didn't take that in faith.
No.
I'm worrying about it, thinking about it. Why? I have a tired mind, and I'm not listening to God. The power of God was in His Word that He said, do it.
Yeah.
Well, I eventually realized that, but it took a while because I was not...
Well, it looked so impossible in the
well,
natural.
It did,
was impossible.
Yeah. But finally, we just had to stand up and say, well, who cares if you die? Well, I mean, that's what this is about anyway, dying and going on to glory. And just say, well, okay, and then praise God. And then and here we are.
Put one foot in front of the other.
Yeah, here we are years and years later and believing God still. Amen.
Yeah.
And my next birthday, I'll be 80, and I'm in better shape today because of what I'm teaching you today than I was back there in 1989 when the Lord first told us to do this.
That's right.
I'm in much better physical condition, far better spiritual condition. I'm in a much better mental condition than I was back there then. And I ain't got time to quit. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The best is yet to come. Woo! Glory. I'm glad I brought that up. No, you brought that up. Now then, we've got just about a minute left here. Now, we've realized that the expensiveness of fear, to fear, is to connect with Satan in your thought life, and it'll drag you down with that curse. And all the time you've been redeemed from the curse. Well, I'm afraid I'm gonna get the flu. Now wait, back up. You sure you wanna be saying that? Well, I'm afraid I'm gonna lose my job. Are you sure you wanna be saying that? See, every time you say that, you reinforce it in your life. The cares of this world. Now, Gloria, tomorrow, we're gonna get into the process of stopping that. And we'll get into the Word about it, and we will go through the process and what the Word teaches and shows us how to walk fear, care, worry free.
It can be done.
Oh, yes.
Glory to God.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.